This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
This is Betting Weekly Premier League Show. You're with myself, Dan Roebuck, alongside me, Nigel Seeley and Jack Wright. 2023 in the EPL about to draw to a close. We've had 402 matches at time of recording over the course of this year. Of the main markets, which are home win, away win, draw, of course, over and under 2.5 goals, 3.5 goals, 1.5 goals. Both teams to score yes, both teams to score no. Nigel, Jack, very good day to you. Only one of those markets have been profitable if you backed in every single game. Nigel, which one?
Obvious, under 2.5 goals. No, I'm joking. It's got to be the goals related. Morning to you guys. Hope you had a very happy Christmas. That's first of all. I hope everyone who watched has had a very happy holidays. Looking forward to the new year as well. It's got to be a goals related bet. And I think because the 2.5 goals have been smashing it, but in big style, I'm going to have to go over 3.5 goals.
Okay, Jack?
I'm going to go for home win.
It is home win, Jack Wright, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, you're around about.
Come on, lads, see you all later.
Come on. Home win.
Home win. I thought it would be like...
Home win, no. If you backed overs...
What kind of quiz question is that? That's the overs, most obvious answer.
It's a betting quiz question for a betting show. Who knew?
I've heard this one before. When Nigel gets one wrong, it's what kind of quiz question is that?
This is like a New Year special. This is supposed to be Dan Roebuck's big intro. You know what I mean? Home win being the most profitable thing.
Listen, we're trying to point people in the right direction. If you backed home win every single game, then I think you're around about 17, 18 points up for the year. There you go. The game's easy. Just back home teams. Which team had the most wins?
You had last season. It's the most irrelevant question I've ever heard. Betting odds on favourites. More likely to win off.
Just trying to make people some money. You know me. Which team had the most wins in 2023?
Home with Liverpool.
No, just wins.
Arsenal.
No, Man City. Who had the most
draws? Oh, that one, what are these questions about?
They're about 2023. The year's coming to a close.
I'll give you a question. Let me give you a question.
Go on, give me a question. Go on. Hands on buzzers.
This is actually a question that is quite difficult and quite interesting rather than your questions with the robot. There's only one team in the Premier League this season who haven't been losing at half time. Who is that team?
Oh, that is a good one. This is a calendar year quiz, though.
No, this is this season. So this is interesting. And this is the answer to this question. No, this, who is that one team that haven't been losing?
Haven't been losing at half time. Arsenal?
Nope.
It's definitely not Man City because they were losing last night. Maybe it is. It's not Villa.
Tottenham? I'm going to put you out of misery. It's Chelsea.
Really?
That is an interesting
question.
What
a good stat that is. How can we make money out of that one? Yeah.
Interesting. Half-time. So that's a proper quiz question, not like your old
rubbish. Well, not really, no, because mine's a calendar year question because it's the end of the year. Anyway, 2023 drawing to a close. We have got games, of course, coming up in the Premier League. We'll get to some selections for you, I promise. We're going to start with Luton-Chelsea. Which is a 7:30 a.m. Eastern kickoff here. Luton off the back of maybe their best result, probably their best result of the season, if not the year, a 1-0 success over Newcastle. Chelsea, who are odds on, Jack, at -165. Third time that they've been odds on so far this season. They are 1-1, lost one so far. So how do we strangle some value out of the fixture at Kenilworth Road, Jack?
We're going to strangle out of both teams to score bet in this one at -127. I just feel that Luton are going to get at Chelsea here, and Chelsea can and have proved to be a little bit vulnerable, especially at the back. Young side, so there is elements. We've seen them being a bit naive. We've seen them being very inconsistent across the course of the campaign, but they do tend to concede goals this season. I know last night, Wednesday at the time of recording, they put out their youngest ever Premier League side. And the youngest Premier League side since 2017 and the eighth of all time. So there we go. There's some more stats for you. But yeah, the main one we're looking at here is that both teams are getting on the score sheet. And I think we know with Luton, as you say, that last home game was against Newcastle. That first clean sheet of the season. Just obviously with the goal disallowed VAR wise, but other than that, they have tended to concede. And following that game, of course, they did revert a bit more to type. They conceded two goals against Sheffield United, scored three themselves. So massive Christmas period for them so far, and they're now really closed the gap on a good few sides above them. So there's massive amount of motivation for them to go into this one and go for it. And I said, the way they play, they know what their limitations are. They're going to be direct. They're going to be aggressive. And I think they'll put some serious pressure on this fairly brittle Chelsea back line. So I say, only one clean sheet this season across the board. Seven of their nine home games have seen both teams to score. But bearing in mind, they have had Manchester City, Arsenal and Liverpool all visit Kenilworth Road. So that's not to be stiffed at. And you look at Chelsea, conceded seven in their nine away games so far this season, including all of the last six. Conceded 10 goals in the last four. So they say they're showing signs that they certainly are conceding goals. And both teams score has been in five of the last six away games as well. So what they do have is got a lot of talent going forward. We've seen that. So I think they're possibly looking at things at the moment, say attack being the best form of defence. They edged their game against Crystal Palace. That was 1-1 at half-time, and they got a late penalty to win that one only last night as well. Jackson and Kunku, Mudrić, all looking like they've got, you know, on their day, can score against anyone. And of course, they will be able to add Sterling and Cole Palmer to that mix, who were suspended from last night. So yeah, basically, I think that Luton will go for this one, given in mind they're in that situation on 15 points now. They've got a real chance of escaping. I think they've proven a lot of people wrong, and getting a few others above them are a little bit worried. They're in striking distance. A win here will more than likely get them out of the relegation zone. So they'll be gunning for it. And I think obviously Chelsea will go to Luton expecting to get something from the game. So yeah, both seem to score for me in this one.
Both teams to score, yes, at -127. I'm going to touch on the relegation market a little bit later on the show, but just a quick question for both of you. Chelsea, every time they get a win, it seems like the pundits are saying they've turned the corner here, Nigel. They're +320 top six. Is that beyond them? I wasn't going to quote top four prices, but top six +320 Chelsea?
I wouldn't have bet them. I do think they'll have an upturn in fortune. I think Nkunku is going to be a big difference for them. You know, they've got a proven goal scorer now. I think they've got, you know, he hasn't hit his stride at all, but I think he's going to come good. He was my pick to be the top goal scorer in the Premier League before the ball was even kicked, and then he got that injury. So I expect big things from Chelsea. I've always expected big things from Chelsea in the second half of the season, not necessarily because of the player personnel he has there. He doesn't really know his best team. I'm a big fan of Pochettino. I've said it many, many times. I think he will get it right here. I think he'll get what he wants from the players eventually. But I think top six is beyond them. I do think they're going to be a major force in the cup competition, in the FA Cup, and obviously they're still in the League Cup as well over here. But I think I wouldn't be surprised to see Chelsea win something, and then next season, I think you want to judge them on next season what they do. But top six, I think it's a little bit out. The top four, top five are too far apart, I think, now from Chelsea.
Jack, a bit too short for you, +320 quickly on Chelsea, top six.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned it during there. They're a very young side. There is naivety amount and lots and lots of inconsistency. So, yeah, only going to get better, I believe, if they show the patience in Pochettino. But, yeah, not for this season on that market.
Let's get to Wolves against Everton, shall we? This is 10 a.m. on Saturday, Eastern. Wolves +160, Everton +180, draw +235 here. Everton put a lot of effort in, I thought, against City. Nigel, last night was great win against Brentford. Huang limped off, although I believe he may well be fit for this game, judging by some of the quotes from Gary O'Neill that came overnight. What are your thoughts on this one? What's the play?
Well, firstly, I apologise, it's cold. I've had this cold since I went to Las Vegas in November, and it's now kind of 2 months. I cannot shake the cold off. I don't know if it's age or I don't know what it is, but I keep coughing and sneezing and everything in the backdrop for this. So I apologise for that, first of all. My thoughts on this one, I mean, it's something that I did regularly last season, very regularly, and on the bet I did here, and I bet in Wolves to win to nil. Wolves to win, to be drawing at half-time. It's my go-to sort of thing when I was in a bit of problems. And it proved dividends to me to have this bet. there's a few reasons why I like it in this match. And I think if you look at this match, if you look at the betting, the outright betting on the money line for this match, it is the closest match in the Premier League this weekend. You know, it screams out draw, really, on the money line. If you look at Wolves, they've got some injury problems. They've had a big win at Brentford at home. They're quite good, but they usually play a lot better against the better teams. I mean, they beat Manchester City, and obviously they win some big matches at home against big clubs, Chelsea as well. But when they play against the teams in or around them, they don't usually have that level. They don't up that level. It sort of comes down a little bit. Wolves to be drawing at halftime has been a bet that has done well for me. If you look at some of the statistics, this is how I found out that Chelsea haven't been losing at halftime in any of their matches. Chelsea have actually...
So you didn't prepare the quiz first. It was just the byproduct of your research.
But it just shows you how good I am, doesn't it, really? I didn't do any preparation to just come up with the best quiz question in the whole year. You put the preparation and come up with two of the worst questions I've ever heard. Anyway, enough of that. Let's go. I looked at this. Chelsea have actually drawn 15 games in the Premier League at halftime, which is the most by any other team. Amazing. Another brilliant question. Fantastic questions. Without any effort. Just shows you what a natural quiz master I am. The Wolves-Everton game, get back to this. Wolves have drawn 9 of 19 matches this season. Last year it was 15 of 38, and the season before, 21 of 38. And that was where I sort of found this Wolves sort of draw thing. And they tend to be draws against teams in or around them. You know, they were sort of quite negative in the first half, and that they set the stalls out. Now, this has got a kind of feel. I know that Wolves have had a good season, but Everton will look at this, and with what Luton are doing as well, they look at this and might have a tactic here to keep it quite tight and think, you know, other teams are going to drop points. We might get a point. And the first half, I expect to be quite cagey. If you look at Everton this season, 10 of their 19 matches at home have been on the Premier League have been draws. So that makes it slightly about minus 120 to be a draw. And the Wolves... over the period of time, over the last three seasons, it works out about minus 125 to be a draw. Now, given that these two teams are very, very evenly matched, you know, the closest match in the Premier League this week, plus 160 Wolves, plus 180 Everton, no minus money here. To get plus 116 on the draw at halftime is mathematically the wrong price. It should be around about minus 110. Given the circumstance that Everton find themselves in with that 10-point deduction and being involved in a relegation battle, I would expect them to be quite cagey. I think at home against teams in or around them, they'll come out the front foot and really try to blow them away, and it'll be much more exciting to watch at home. They played once already this season. It was 1-0, and it was a draw at halftime. It was 0-0 at halftime. And I think this is a kind of similar kind of game. I know Wolves have been a lot more entertaining this season with their goals, and a lot of people have been betting Wolves and both teams to score markets. I think this might go back to the normal kind of match that we've seen between these two sides over the years. So, going to go for a draw at halftime, plus 116. It is purely and simply on the odds. And the one thing I would add here is that I found this card a very tricky card this week in the Premier League. I felt there was some very difficult matches to call. And I sort of went back to a bet that's sort of done all right for me over the years. But when you broke down the odds on it, mathematically, to get plus 116, was a good price over a three-year period, and given what I think four of the last five matches between these two sides have been a draw at halftime as well. So they are pretty much level. If you look at Wolves and Everton, where they're standing are, there's not much between them, and I don't think there maybe anything between them at the 45-minute mark.
Also, telling them Eastern Palace up against Brentford, Crystal Palace plus 130, Brentford plus 235, draw plus 225 here. Overs is plus 112 in this game. Overs is the direction we're going with this one, Jack. This is 19th versus 20th in terms of the six-match form tables, and I'll get both your thoughts on the relegation market after Jack's talk us through his play for the game at Selhurst Park.
Yeah, it comes down as a must-win, really, doesn't it? Certainly. And I've gone with over 2.25 goals here at minus 117. So, yeah, looking at the odds straight away, the over 2.5 goals being at plus money is a very rare commodity these days, isn't it? We don't get to see that too often. So I've gone and attacked that line because I think these two sides can get us over here quite comfortably, given the way they're defending at the moment, and also the way that they will look at this and go, we need to win it, because we've already said Luton are breathing down their necks, both these two sides, and they could find themselves in the drop zone if the results go against them after, you know, at the end of the match day. So, just a reminder for everyone on this one, because it is a bit of a tricky line sometimes. Half our stake on the over 2-goal line, half our stake on over 2.5 goals. I mean, if there is exactly 2 goals in it, we get half our stake refunded back to us three or more goals, of course, will give us a full win. And that's what we're looking for here. I say, I think, you know, with Palace, not one that we've generally liked to play as a goals team over the recent time, but there's a key factor in why I want to go with it this time around. One, because they're at home and they've got to see this as a game that they must look to get 3 points from. I've seen them a couple of times recently. I thought they've been relatively decent, to be fair. They're okay, certainly the first half against Brighton. I thought Mateta looked like he was in some kind of good form. But ultimately, this comes down to players that we've mentioned throughout the course of the season and why we were fading Palace and why we were fading their goals in the fact that it's Eze and Elise. And finally, they made it into the starting lineup together against Chelsea on Wednesday night and performed pretty well. Elise got on the score sheet, a very nice goal indeed. And I say that was obviously one. Well, he equalised to make that 1-1 at half time before they went on to lose 2-1. Obviously, cashing this bet if we were on that one there. So for them, so I think they look like in forward areas again, they're starting to come together, especially with those two in the mix and with Ayew as well. And with Ayew, he's the most foul player in the Premier League by some distance. So we could see them exploiting this Brentford defence, who have been very, very shaky, very, very un-Brentford-like over the last few weeks. Obviously, we've talked about the game against Wolves. They've already shipped 4 goals in that one. Thomas Frank has come out and said that, you know, they did have a wobble last season where they lost 5 in a game and they did bounce back from it. They need to bounce back from it. But that slide down the table is seemingly quite a consistent one. I think from the first time since they've come into the Premier League a couple of seasons ago, they are looking vulnerable at the moment. Vulnerable as far as their position in the table is concerned, and vulnerable as far as the fact that sides can get at them and score goals against them. And I think, say, Palace certainly have that in them to do that. But Brentford do have some decent players in forward areas. Of course, they're still without Tony, who is back in a couple of weeks' time now in the new year. We'll see him back in this Brentford starting lineup. But they'll want to make the most of having Visser because he looked decent against Wolves. He was the point of their one shining light and got on the score sheet. He's off to the African Cup of Nations in say, a short space of time as well. So they want to make the most of having him on board. And as I said, when you look at the sides, they've just got that element about them. They're going to need to get a positive result from it. And generally speaking, again, we're talking historically, we'd normally say there's two sides that are at the bottom of the table, bottom of the form table, bottom of the actual table. That tends to be a cagey, tight affair. You look across some of the games this season, it's been a very odd season. It's gone against what a lot of stuff that we've thought about in the past. And I went through some of the scores and there's about 10 or 12 games where you look at it and you go, well, that'd be a low-scoring affair. I won't go through all of them, but they're all seeing 3 or more goals. The likes of Luton, Burnley, Brentford versus Bournemouth, Brentford versus Everton, Palace versus Wolves was 5 goals in it. You know, Forest, Luton, those sort of games, 2-2. There's been so many goals where a side gets in front and it suddenly opens it up because the other side can't afford to lose to them as well. So I think there's so much on at stake here. I think it will be a case that these sides can't really defend well enough to go, we're going to win this 1-0. So therefore, I think the line's attractive enough for me to have a go at it over 2.25 at -117.
Just quickly on the relegation situation. I mean, Luton are now -278. Obviously, they're still incredibly short and expected to go down. But given what was being talked at the start of the season, Nigel, I mean, it's a very good effort so far from Luton, isn't it? I mean, they really have turned it. I mean, Palace are +600, Brentford +2,000. Is there just maybe the relegation door being prized open to just not those three teams that came up? Because a month or two ago, we were thinking, well, they're all going down again.
Luton have been the surprise package and at home. And really, you think of some of the points that they've devastatingly dropped in last minutes and stuff like that, when they should have got better than what they have done now. And then they would have been in a much more comfortable position. I think the fact is with Luton is that they are doing as well as they can. I don't think they can maintain that effort for a long period of time. And the other thing is obviously they've got such a small squad that the other teams have got bigger squads. The other thing that I think will help, especially Crystal Palace. I think at this moment in time, I think Crystal Palace are the team that I would say are in serious trouble. I mean, speaking to a lot of Crystal Palace fans, their home form this season is where they usually been so strong. They've only won one match at home this season, which is dreadful from the style of play. Roy Hodgson, they want him out. You know, they love Roy, but they want him to go. His time has come. And I think that will happen very shortly. I cannot see Roy Hodgson being the manager of Crystal Palace for much longer. And I think that will suddenly see them pick up points. We saw when Vieira went and Roy went in, how they sort of upturned their form. So I think that managerial change will help. And I don't think Brentford will be too good. They'll be Tony will come back. That will make them a lot better side from an attacking perspective and an uplift for the sort of team. But I just think that the bottom three will be the bottom three, however well Luton are doing. I just don't think they can maintain that form for a really long period of time.
Jack, very quickly on it, and any value in anything else other than the promoted side?
Well, the only thing I'd say about Brentford, and Nigel touched on him there, is Ivan Toney. Obviously, there's talk about him being snapped up in January. If that was to be a case, that'd be a massive blow for them. But then it's a case of how they reinvest their money. Again, historically, they've kind of done that pretty well. So January's a big thing. You're not going to see Luton throwing like 100 million quid at survival in January. And the other sides around them, the likes of Forest, not maybe so much Palace, but you say that you'd expect a new manager coming there, freshen up. That'd probably be okay. They've got some great players in there. We've already mentioned them. So they should be good. Everton points going back on and their form. You're starting to struggle, aren't you? And it tends to be a case that this season, we mentioned someone who looks to be in trouble, and then they'll go and win two or three games on the spin. So it's good. You know, great that Luton have kept it interesting. And I'd love that to continue for more than one reason. But see if who can be sucked into that battle. But as long as there is one, we'll see. But I think if you've said who's the bottom three going to be, it's very, very tough to pick anyone other than who's there at the moment.
Villa Burnley is 10 a.m. Saturday as well. Villa minus 295, short price favourites. Burnley plus 430. The draw plus 430. Burnley plus 800. Test of Villa's character, really, Jack, isn't it? After throwing away that two-goal lead at Old Trafford, they traded short in running. United doing what they used to do a generation or so ago here. But you are tipping Villa to bounce back here. Talk us through your play for this one.
Yeah, I'm going with a Villa home win here, which incidentally I've heard is the if you go with a home win historically in 2023.
I heard that. It's a fantastic question. It's a great way to just start.
£200 question on who wants to be a millionaire. My one's a £1 million question on who wants to be a millionaire.
So home win. I'm empty handed with your wrong answer there, Nigel. Move on. I've been through my Peterello at Christmas, had a great time. The wife, family have loved it. Pouring through that and seeing. But Villa have appeared on it a lot over this course of this season so far. Actually, more than I realised how many times I'd used them in a bet. And it's been very successful. But I'm going with a win here. They're obviously, you can't just back them straight up, certainly not on this show. So I've added in over 2.5 goals here against Burnley at minus 120. I say Villa have been very good to me over the course of the season, so I'm not going to be losing faith with them just yet. We saw them that very much a shock result against Sheffield United, which ended in a 1-1 draw, and then cruising against Manchester United, and as you say, threw it away in the second half, which it looked, the way that was going, it looked like only being one result. So, as you say, a touch to their character now to come back. Let's not forget, this is Villa Park. Suddenly not going to become a bad home side off the back of that Sheffield United performance. So they've won 15 of their last 16 in the Premier League, we know, at home. So they've got a brilliant opportunity here to bounce back and bounce back in style. And what they've generally done against the lower lights in the league have been go and blow them away. And Sheffield United, we've said about under Wilder, they proved that wrong against Luton, but they've generally, up to that point, have been pretty tight and rigid. They've kind of stripped that back to the bare basics until they went crazy, 2-0 goals against Luton. But Burnley are a different kettle of fish. They're very much an open side. We mentioned them a couple of weeks ago where they'd had like 10 or 11 shots on target. They'd against them against Brighton, only conceding one. They conceded 10 more shots on target. Against Liverpool, again in a 2-0 one, and so you can't keep conceding that amount of shots on target and getting away with it. So their away record is terrible this season, or their form this season terrible. 14 defeats in the league. Only Sheffield United can match that as far as poor performance is concerned. So and I say Villa here will be looking for an absolute bounce back at Villa Park, big crowd as we know, and they'll be this again, they're third in the table, so it's not fallen apart for them. They've had a wobble, but most sides in this league so far this season have. So regroup, come again, and I say they're super, super strong. Just a reminder of those home form stats. 26 goals scored is the most in the Premier League. 6 goals against. No one can beat that as far as defensive record concerned at home. 3 points off the top. So again, any results going their way at time of recording, certainly, then they can take advantage of that as well. These sides have already played each other, of course, and we're now getting to that point in the season where we've got that direct bit of form to correlate with. And it was a 3-1 win for Villa at Burnley. So I think Burnley aren't a side that can come and shut up shop and look to frustrate Villa. I think they will play and they will give them chances. And Villa's front line will be all over that Burnley back line, who do take plenty of chances in and around their own area. And I think that's a recipe for disaster against this Villa side that can be ruthless. And I think they're going to show that ruthless streak once again. So no win against the top half side for Burnley. I'm taking that trend to continue as well. And as I say, they've conceded 38 goals this season. Only Sheffield United have conceded more. So we know what Villa are all about. And I think they can take advantage here and get the win, as well as seeing at least 3 goals on side for us at minus 120.
2 more games to look at. Sunday, 9 a.m. Eastern, Fulham against Arsenal. Fulham are the outsiders, as you would imagine here, plus 540 Arsenal, minus 195 draw. Plus 340 over and underline. Overs is short at minus 137. Fulham after back-to-back wins. Nigel have suddenly dropped off a cliff, haven't they? Without a win in 4 here. What are your thoughts here? What's the play?
I'm going to take Arsenal. And I'm going to take Arsenal to win it quite well. I'm going to go for Arsenal minus 1 at minus 115. I think that Fulham is a nice place to go. You know, when you're looking at the top of the Premier League and you're looking at, you want to go to Wolves, you want to be going to Everton, the way they're playing is a tough kind of place. Going down to Fulham is not a horrible place to go. You know, look at Fulham's record, the recent record at home. They got beat 2-0 by Burnley. I know they put in a couple of back-to-back performances against Nottingham Forest and West Ham to win 5-0. But other than that, they've been pretty timid over the season. Their performances in the last 2 matches have been really poor. The 3-0 defeat against Bournemouth was dreadful. They offered absolutely nothing. That Burnley performance was absolutely diabolical. When it come on the back of a really, really heartbreaking, a really long penalty shootout win over Everton, where they fought for a long game. It was a real big game, took a lot out of the young squad. And their performance levels in a week since that long match, haven't been up to scratch. You see a lot of teams looking at cup competitions and then they sort of, their season fades away slightly. And I think Fulham may be in that category, and they're into the semi-finals of the League Cup. They, you know, they haven't never got this far in the competition before. They have a two-legged affair against Liverpool, which is in the beginning of the new year. And suddenly, with that in mind, you see that they drop a little bit of their form. So I don't know whether that's a problem for them, but they have a very tough match here against Arsenal. Then they have a winnable FA Cup match against Rotherham. And Fulham, they know they're safe. You know, we've spoken about teams that I think they're safe. I mean, they're still around about 25-1 to get relegated, but Fulham will be okay. And they, I think the fans might look at thinking to yourself, you know what, if we can get to Wembley and stay in the Premier League, we've had a brilliant year. And you can see their focus shifting from their league form to their to the cup competitions. With Arsenal, we know what they've got to do. They've got to go there and win. They've only lost one match in about 9 matches now, and that was at Aston Villa in that tough game. Away at Aston, we know how good they are. And Arsenal are just winning professionally on the road, aren't they? They're winning 1-0 at Brentford. They're going away to two places. Brentford, they went 1-0 and 1. They went to Bournemouth for 1-4-0. I could just see them going to Fulham here, catching them right at the right time, just before 2 big cup competitions, and just doing a professional job on them. The last couple of years, Arsenal have gone to this fixture when they've been riding high and won relatively easy. I think it was back-to-back 3-0 wins, wasn't it? They won 3-0 last year and 3-0 the year before. It's not a difficult place to go, Fulham. And it's just a place that, you know, that you're not going to, the crowd aren't going to be on your back. You're going to go there. They're going to play a good style of football. And I think they'll play into Arsenal's hands. I think Arsenal have a lot of possession and grind them down. And I think that Fulham could be a team over the next sort of 6 or 8 weeks or so. You know, if they can pick up a couple of wins against teams at the bottom, they could be that first team in the Premier League that you want to say, right, they're done for the year. Especially if they can lift their game and beat Liverpool and get to Wembley. then their league form will suffer. Very small squad, opportunity for a club like Fulham to play in a cup final, win a cup competition. That, I think, has become the priority at Craven Cottage rather than this match. So I think it's a great time for Arsenal. I think this is what Arsenal don't slip up on matches like this. They're not the kind of matches they slip up. They slip up against the main contenders now. They've learned how to win these kind of matches. And I think minus one, as long as they win, it's going to be a push. And I don't see any threat from Fulham here. Minus 115 Arsenal on the Asian handicap with a push if Arsenal win by exactly one goal.
And we're going to play the same bet as well in the Liverpool-Newcastle game, 3 p.m. Monday. Liverpool minus 215, Newcastle plus 550, draw plus 380 here. Newcastle, their form is slipping. Liverpool went back to the top of the table after that success against Burnley at time of recording. They are there. We are playing the Asian handicap minus one. But which way, Nigel?
Well, I think it's Liverpool. I mean, Liverpool minus one here against Newcastle. I mean, like, I know Jack went with Newcastle the last time out and he gave a brilliant case, but we were quite concerned about that with the Newcastle injuries. And I sort of highlighted it, didn't I, about Eddie Howe. It was 25-1 when we did it last week to be the next Premier League manager to lose his job. He's now down to 3-1. It's just this fixture list. I mean, December has been an absolute disastrous month for Newcastle Football Club. They've been running on empty coming into December with the injuries they've had. They've won one match in seven, and the games have come so fast. I mean, I think it's eight matches. Let's have a look. They played nine football matches in December, which is an incredible amount of matches. They won started the month with a win against Manchester United. And since then, they got knocked out of Europe, beat at home by Milan. They've knocked out of the League Cup in a penalty shootout with Chelsea. Next two matches in the Premier League got beaten by Luton and beaten back home by Nottingham Forest, which has really ruined their chance of making Champions League football. So now they travel to Liverpool, who are top of the table, who this season have played 14 matches at home. 11 of their wins have been by two or more goals. One has been a push, and only two you haven't collected, and that was against Arsenal, and you were against Manchester United. Against anyone else, they've won easy. They beat them already this season at St. James's Park, and they were down to 10 men after 28 minutes. Van Dijk was sent off. They're a bogey team for Newcastle as well. They haven't lost in the last 15. They've won their last five against Newcastle. Newcastle completely decimated by injuries. Players just running out of legs at this stage of the season. Desperate for the January transfer window to open. And I think you'll see a load of the players from the Saudi League come here to try galvanise them. But what have they got to play for? They've got one thing to play for, and that's the FA Cup. Now, if you talk about priorities, Newcastle, I can imagine all the expert, their data men looking at their league expectation, thinking, you know, we're probably not going to make the Champions League here, but we've got to win something. And a match against Sunderland away in the FA Cup next Saturday, sandwiched between a Liverpool and a Manchester City match in the Premier League. Well, this is tough stuff for Newcastle Football Club. I think Liverpool roll over here. I think Newcastle roll over here and Liverpool win by a number on them. Minus one goal, fired up Liverpool against a team they have a brilliant record on. I really like this bet. Liverpool minus one. And it's a little bit shorter than what you usually go, minus 137. But as long as Liverpool win, we're not too bothered. We're okay. Liverpool have an FA Cup match against Arsenal as well, but that is not important to them. They'll rest everybody. Arsenal will rest everyone. It'll be Arsenal reserves against Liverpool reserves. But Sunderland against Newcastle, that is the last chance of Eddie Howe winning any silverware against their arch rivals. Now, that game is huge for them. And I would argue that's much bigger than a trip to Liverpool when they've got nothing really to play for in the Premier League, or their aspiration of top four are over. Just one other, another good question for you. They haven't won in 15 years, Newcastle. 2005, number one. In 2005, in 2015, sorry, in December 2015, number one in the hit parade was when this last time Newcastle won. Something that I'll be saying if we lose this bet.
I've no idea.
Bieber, sorry. Sorry. Number one, 2015, last time they won. So long, long time. 15 matches without a win for Newcastle, and this is a perfect time. Liverpool win this, and I think they win this by a decent number. And Eddie Howe, days are up. Next England manager, Eddie Howe.
Jack, quickly, Liverpool plus 275 for the title, Newcastle plus 600 for top four, minus 200 for top six. Just give us your thoughts on those futures prices, if you can, quickly.
Liverpool we've liked from the get-go. We know they've got goals in them. I think the Salah going is their interesting point. We've got to get over that. But yeah, I think they're obviously well up there, and we know their home form is formidable. So performing well. So yeah, not a problem with that one. As far as Newcastle are concerned, I wouldn't be backing them at minus 200, but yeah, top six. Yeah, no.
Seems short,
top four, no. Yeah, yeah, and obviously top four, I wouldn't really fancy him, to be fair. Obviously, January is going to be a massive. If it's hard to try and predict what's going to happen and what side players they're going to have available to them. You know, that's their key time, say, with what they've got injury-wise and fatigue-wise at the moment. But as it stands right now, I wouldn't be touching either of those.
You would think that they're playing for one place, really, wouldn't you? You would think that. I believe that the teams in the top five positions in the Premier League will be the teams in the top five positions. I think they're playing for sixth place. I mean, consider you're only playing for one place to take -$2.
Yeah.
You would expect a big improvement with Chelsea. The Man United three goals at halftime must give them some kind of confidence. You know, that they're going to get players back. They'll spend, I think, in January. It all depends, really. I think the Saudis, it's the unknown of what they're going to do in the transfer window. But if they've got nothing to play for, you've got to remember that, you know, if Newcastle were involved in a title race, the Saudis would spend millions and millions and millions and probably billions to get them to win the league. They could come to the transfer window, could be open, and they're out of everything. So they won't give Eddie Howe a penny. They'll give the new manager a penny when he comes in for next season. So I think it's a real difficult time to judge Newcastle here. I think they could either finish sixth in the table, or they could drop down to 13th or 14th and put all their eggs into the next season's basket.
Going to be interesting to see what happens with Newcastle over the course of the next few weeks, certainly with the transfer window, as the boys were pointing out. Very quickly on top scorer market, throw this one in just for a bit of fun, because we're not quite sure what's happening with Haaland, are we, Nigel, here? He's minus 400. He's injured at the moment. There's not that many games in January, so he could easily be fit for when the Premier League gets busier again. We've got Salah away at African Cup of Nations. He's got 12 goals. Son's got 11. Solanke's got 13. Watkins, 9. But both of the latter two named are 25-1. Salah, +450, some +1400. Any thoughts? I mean, Alvarez, 80-1. I mean, Haaland makes this, as you've talked about before, but you've also suggested that there's a significant time form squiggle here with him at the moment.
Yeah, I just think that the uncertainty of him, like the news coming out, you know, there should be an update on him. It's a very random foot injury. I've thought there may be a problem with him and Guardiola. I don't know. He's always been wanting to move. He's never stayed anywhere really long. I've always thought Real Madrid might come in for him. I'm just not quite sure about what's going on there with him. I think if you are betting him to win the bid of top Premier League goalscorer, you desperately need him to start the weekend. They're at home to Sheffield United. I mean, that could be 10-0. He could get five goals in that match, and it could be all over. So I think you need him. You need to know, really, if you want to fade Haaland, you need to get the team loose for Saturday, for the game against Sheffield United. If he plays in that match, he's in for two goals. So he'd be -$6 favourite after that match. If he doesn't play in that match, he could be a different price. I think if you were looking for an outside, the hottest striker in the Premier League, Solanke. And he takes pens. And Bournemouth are flying at the moment. And, you know he's going to play every game. He's not, you know, you want someone who plays every game. You want someone who's going to take penalties. And you want someone who's in a top half team. And at the moment, Bournemouth are the informed team and could be a top half team. I think at 25-1, if you could offer me each way, which you know you won't, I think you'd be an each way bet of all time to finish in the top three. But Solanke would be the bet. But Haaland, if you're going to bet him, or fade him, you need to know whether he plays at home to Sheffield United this weekend. I'm waiting for my triple captain on fantasy to see if he plays.
Jack, any thoughts on top goal scorer as he stands at the moment? Haaland makes the market, as we've just said, but I mean, we just don't know. You make a strong enough case for anyone else, or is it just wait and see?
No, yeah, what Nigel said there, as far as you want a player that stays fit, that is on penalties, is a shoe-in for their side. And I think you're looking at, realistically down the list, Solanke or Ollie Watkins at a price that you'd want to have a little bit of a play on. As you said, Salah away, Son away, missing games, which could be vital. Haaland, the question mark about it. So yeah, have a little look down if you want to have a little play on this one, I think. And there's a bit of fun to be had with some big prices, as we've seen with those players who can hit a hot streak of form. We know, again, Watkins is one of those players that can suddenly score 10 in 10 and with his Villa side at home. Hopefully he'll get a hat-trick this weekend.
Just one thing, Jack. Dan. The next two Man City home matches in the Premier League are Sheffield United and Burnley. So if he misses those two matches, Haaland, then I don't think he'll be the top Premier League goal scorer. But if he plays, it's over by February.
let's get some best bets. Nigel, what's your best play?
Liverpool -1 against Newcastle.
And Jack?
I'm going to go with the Palace game. Palace-Brentford over 2.25 goals.
Asian play on the goal line from Jack. Thanks for your company, boys. Good luck with your picks. That is a wrap for Betting Weekly Premier League show. We're going to be back in a couple of weeks' time. EPL takes a break for the third round of the FA Cup. You've been pretty vocal when it comes to the FA Cup. Nigel, just remind people who you like, and you threw a couple of other names to us before we started recording.
Yeah, I just think that the market is just... I mean, the top teams always win the Premier in the FA Cup. You look back through history, it's dominated by the Arsenal, Manchester United, Chelsea's. And the market this year has really, really sort of heavily focused on those top teams as it always is. But I think as the year goes on, the FA Cup, it becomes very, very less important for the big teams, as we all know. So I think there's always value at the teams in that middle section of the Premier League. The hottest team in the Premier League at the moment are Bournemouth. They're 80-1. They travel to my team, QPR. I tell you what, QPR, they've got a terrible record in the third round of the FA Cup. Even when we were good, we were bad in the third round of the FA Cup. I think Bournemouth are 80-1 are a big price. I think Wolves are 100-1. I mean, they've got to go to Brentford. They beat Brentford last night 4-1. The market hasn't even thought about that. 100-1 Wolves is a big price. And obviously Everton, I mean, I've bet all three of those at 66-1. You only need one to get to the final and you're laughing. If you get to the semi-final, you can hedge a little bit and have a nice run. But for me, for that, they would be my bets. I just think that Manchester United at 9-1, Chelsea 9-1, on currently Bournemouth 80-1 to Manchester United 8-1. This is a team that beat them 3-0 at home a couple of weeks ago. So they're my three picks at big prices.
Jack?
Yeah, I said Villa a couple of weeks ago, so I'll stick with that because, say they get a favourable draw, then they're a tough match for anyone. You might throw a Spurs in at plus 1,400 as well. Madison coming back, of course, will be a key element for them. So, I'll stick with my Villa. I've looked further down the list and, I can't get too excited about anyone other than the ones that Nigel mentioned there, to be fair. We're looking at championship sides.
Yeah, you can certainly have a bit of fun with those and hedge if they get final, semi-final. You've certainly got a little bit of wriggle room if that happens. Wish you well with your FA Cup action and indeed with the Premier League football over the course of this weekend. Once again, many thanks to Nigel and Jack. That is your lot for today. We will speak soon. Happy New Year, one and all.